gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Good morning, everybody. Again, I am with you today to just share some information with you as I have received it. And I want to talk about relationships today. But before we begin, let me give prompts to DJ. We thank BJ again for the opportunity to serve and to use my gift of encouragement. My name is Mary Boyd Smith. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. And I've been a clinical social worker for 50 years this year. So give me a hand clap. To God be the glory. We're talking about relationships today because I believe that in our present time, in our community, in our homes, in our church, in our organizations, we can always use some improvement when it comes to relationships. 2 weeks ago, I was here and we talked about self-awareness, simply for us to look at ourselves and understand who we are, to understand why we are the way that we are, the things that we can do to improve ourselves. Guess what? We are continuing that thought this week with social awareness. Social awareness leads us to relationships because understanding oneself and accepting others is the foundation for healthy relationships. So first we thought about ourselves, understood ourselves. Then we want to quickly talk about social awareness. And when we think about social awareness, it is to understand what others are feeling and to acknowledge their perspectives. Develop understanding and empathy for people from different backgrounds, from different cultures. Let us begin to clean up our perception for others, because what we always see is only what we see. We don't know what that person is going through, how they feel. We don't know about their backgrounds. We don't know about their culture. Somebody was talking to me yesterday about a person who they were actually teaching in a class at a university, and things began to happen, and this person was always disarrayed, a car full of stuff, and everything was going on. And she said maybe the most obvious to a lot of us was not obvious to her as an instructor. The person was homeless. And just knowing that one fact about that person brought a lot of things in mind and in line with, you know, what was really going on. But guess what? We may never know that one thing that will pull everything together. So we live in a situation where we accept people where they are, and we may learn more and more about them as we respect them. For our context today, as I said, we are focusing on social awareness, understanding others. I've just defined for you what that is, and we remember from last week. I know I'm repeating myself, but I want to bring it all together. We're dealing with relationships, how we see and how we interact with others. Now, somebody is saying, okay, why are we talking about relationships? I am glad you asked. Why are we talking about relationships? We cannot live in this world alone. We need each other. Seek to understand others as we wish to be understood. We want everybody to understand us, just look at us and like us and love us and understand us. But do we give that same back to other people, especially when we see people sometimes they don't smell good, don't act right, don't talk right? Do we give them the benefit of loving them the way that God has loved us? The Christian application to relationships help us to live a harmonious life. And that's what God has told us to do. Live in harmony with one another. Be at peace with one another. We need to live so that when people get to know us, they will want to know Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. We in the Baptist church, we often say, I want to live so God can use me anywhere, anytime. But we're saying today, added to that, live so when people really get to know you, that they will want to know Jesus Christ, because it's all about Jesus, and everything that we do, we want to glorify God. Now, we know at the best of times, our relationships are tested with our best friends and our homes, our family and friends. Our relationships are tested. Never, ever take a relationship for granted. Love on it, nourish it, nurture it. Make sure that we are in any relationship. Even a baby wants to be loved and appreciated. So whatever relationships we are in, we want to make sure that we are nurturing those relationships, letting people have from us what God wants to give to them through us. I've heard of deprivation in relationships because sometimes people never say, thank you, I'm sorry, I appreciate you. Let's work on this together. So today, we want to say knowing and living God's word is a key to developing and maintaining good, true relationships. The Bible has much to say about relationships. Yes, it does. Take a listen. The Bible tells us, I've already said, live in harmony with one another. Love one another. Speak the truth to each other. Do not lie, gossip about others. Don't judge other people. What do you mean by judge? The Bible tells us to be careful not to look at other people and see a plank in their eye. Oh, I'm sorry, to see a little small dot in their eye and we got a plank in ours. It's simply saying it's always good to look at ourselves critically and look at other people with an eye of love. Be careful not to judge and form opinions. And I always say, stay out of other people's business, even when you're invited in. Your blessed place in somebody else's business is out. Now, the Bible also tells us to be kind and compassionate to one another. Follow God's example and walk in love. Be very careful how you live. Let us clothe ourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Forgive one another as God has forgiven us. Now just stop for a moment, and just think of one time you need God's forgiveness, and he generously gave it to you. Just that one time is enough for us to know that if God can forgive us, we certainly can forgive other people. And I want to talk about forgiveness for a minute, because forgiveness is not an easy thing to do. Somebody out there listening to me, you're saying, oh, but you just don't know what happened to me. And somebody else is saying, it's easy to say it, but can you walk it? And you may be thinking a whole lot of things. But trust me, when we learn to forgive, we can love better. We can understand better. Our health is better. Our self-care is better. There's an abundance of, for me, when we forgive. Someone else said, when we forgive somebody, we are, in fact, we're really helping and releasing ourselves from whatever is holding on to us. When we're able to forgive them, when we're able, that sets us free. So learn to forgive people. And I spend time there because every one of us, and I might be taking a privilege that's not true. Maybe every one of us have not. But I believe most of us have had a point in our lives, in relationships, we had to forgive. Think about it. And don't stay there long. We don't want to go there for a long time. But we have had to forgive. I read somewhere that if you really forgive, you forget. As a professional therapist, I understand and I say to you, forgetting like something never happened, it's out of your mind, like amnesia, that doesn't happen. But the sting of what happened to us in a relationship doesn't bother us no more, anymore. We learn more and more how God brought us through. And for our betterment, we're better, we're stronger, we're wiser. We can walk better, we can talk better, we can help people. But the main thing, we glorify God when we're able to forgive others for what they have done to us and relationships. So as we close ourselves with compassion, I just love the word compassion. Be compassionate with people. Don't be so hateful like you're sucking on lemons and you're mad all the time. Be compassionate. Be kind. Have humility. Be gentle. Be patient. And then we learn to forgive. Overall, when those are virtues, and they're in the Bible, when we put those virtues together and then we put on love, the love will bind all of those virtues together, and we have unity. What's great about having unity? When we begin to have unity in our relationships at the church, in the school, in the community, and our organizations in the community, when we begin to have unity, great and powerful things happen. Great and powerful things happen. I'm going to say it again. Great things happen. We become a powerful force when we have unity. The Bible speaks much about unity. So when we are began to have unity and we've begun to forgive other people, we can remember then how much God has forgiven us. Christians should live in peace. We ought to be in peace, not all the time in turmoil, not thinking. My youngest son sent me something this morning, and it was saying we should always, I send my children, and I have about 10 of them, that I send something out to every once in a while. But and I was trying to see, was I going to be smart enough to find it on here, and I haven't yet. But he said something about being positive and thinking the best of people or the best of situations. When we become a positive force, we attract people. And sometimes people are not godly people who we attract, but they are people who God has sent our way for us to put a touch of him on them so that they will begin to understand what peace looks like, what love looks like. So we are always careful we're always careful to make sure, that we are remembering how important it is for us to love. This is what Chris sent me, and I'm going to read it to you. Train your mind to see the good in everything. Positivity is a choice. The happiness of our life depends on the quality of our thoughts. I just thought I would add that to what I was saying today. So we want to be positive about other people. We want to be positive in our relationships. And I don't want anyone to think that I am belittling things that have happened in relationships to you that make you feel different and not quite right about situations. But I promise you, as I've said and I'm repeating, once we are able to forgive and let go, you say, well, how do I do it? By trusting God to take care of you. The Bible tells us as we forgive, we are forgiven. In our prayers, we say that. So we want to make sure that in relationships, we are Christ-like. We are learning because we want to live in peace. When we get the foundation right, the virtues, virtues of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and Lord have mercy, patience. When we get them all together, then it's covered with love, and all of that binds itself together. And it becomes a lifestyle of developing and managing our relationships in a positive way. Okay, so far we're talking about making sure that we are self-aware, that we understand ourselves. And that's a big, big thing to do. And socially, we have empathy. We understand and accept other people. We may not understand how, why they do what they do, how they do what they do, but we have empathy enough to accept them where we meet them at and to give them respect. So, knowing and living God's word is a key to developing and maintaining good, true relationships. I say that again. Knowing and living God's word is a key to developing and maintaining good, true relationships. So we want to make sure, in other words, we need to make sure of us. And when we go in to add value to relationships that you're in, add values to relationships in your church, add value to the relationships in the community, add your value to relationships in your family. So, okay, how do you do that? You do that by trusting God. I say it every time I talk. Read your Bible and pray. And everything that the Bible says is true. When we read our Bibles, when we pray, we learn to trust God. We trust Him for His Word. And when we get through fiddling and faddling out there trying to do it on our own, we find ourselves going running to God and saying, God, I trust You. And He told us that if we trust Him, all we have to do is trust in Him with all our hearts and not lean to our own understanding. Some of us are very smart. We were the Vals and the Sals of our classes. We would rank top in everything that we do. The world called us genius and wonderful people. But guess what? When we, our pastor Darrell talked about it Sunday, when we take our natural and put God's super on it, then we become an anointed person, and we add value to whatever we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we can. We can add value when we walk in a room. We can change an atmosphere. When we go into a tense relationship situation, if we go in there with that anointing of God on us, it's going to work every time. See, you know, you've heard the song say we can't lose with the stuff we use. We can't lose when we trust God. to be in the midst of everything that we're in. And so that's why we're talking about relationships today. We find so often that what some people say, I'm saved, but I ain't that saved. Or some people say, I know I got Jesus, but I'm going to work this one out by myself. No, no, no. The Bible tells us to love one another. Speak the truth to each other, but do it in love. Don't lie. Don't gossip about other people, and don't judge other people. So those are some of the things that we want to say today to make sure that we are moving in the directions that God wants us to move in, and we are doing the things that we are supposed to do. It is said, it's what's in the heart that counts. So we ask God daily to give us a clean heart, to renew in us a right spirit. It is better to bite your tongue than to let it bite somebody else. Remember that. And rather than biting at other people, some people say, well, I have to say what's on my mind. No, you don't. It's better to bite your tongue. The Bible tells us that that little tongue is small in size, but it can do great danger. So we want to remember always how we act, how we talk, how we live, how we communicate with other people. I'm not saying a lot about other people. We could make this a whole session about, now you see, you go with some people and then you don't do this if they don't do this. And you see, this is how you got to act with people. Let them make sure they know who you are. We want to do it God's way. I'm talking about doing our relationships the way that God wants them to do. Because as I said before, many of us have been hurt because people did it their way. And there are many people among us that are not as strong as we are. They have not been able to pull themselves out of gossip. Somebody lied on them. Somebody cheated them. Somebody did them wrong. And some people are functioning. You've heard of people functioning as an alcoholic. They still go to work and do everything they have to do, take care of their business, but they call them a functional alcoholic. Sometimes we become functional Christians. We become functional people. To the world, we look like we're doing great. But inside, there is still some hurt, some shame, some things that have happened. Let it go. Let it go. When we go to God and ask Him for forgiveness, He is waiting, and He loves us so much that there is no good thing that He will not hold from us. And when we begin to get into relationships, make some wise choices, make some wise decisions about people and who they are and how they represent themselves to you. If it's a disease in your spirit, you move away from that. But don't become a hermit and just think, oh, I'm just not going to deal with people. As my brother Alton used to say, that ain't normal. God made us to be with one another. God told us that two is better than one. It's better than for us to work together in unity, the thing that I have just talked about. So don't let past hurts make you a functional Christian, make you a functional person. Somebody say, why be good when you can be great? We need to remember that there are some things that go on that we want to remember. There are some things that go on that we want to forget. We want to forget it. Paul said, put that stuff behind you and press forward. So we want to live our lives and our relationships. Remember, we need people. We love people. I meet people. Usually my say is when I meet somebody that's really adding value to what I'm saying and I'm feeling them, I call them my new best friends. And I got new best friends hearing there. And some of my new best friends may hear me as I'm speaking now. But they're my new best friends because they add value to my life. They say things. They know something that I don't know. They help me to understand better. There's a lot, and let me tell you, I often say this when I speak. Many of my friends with whom I have relationships are not, quote, unquote, educated. They're not educated the way what the world calls educated, but they know themselves some Jesus, and they know about being nice to people, and they know about being kind. As my niece used to say, you better get yourself some. Find yourself somebody that will pour into you, that will help you to understand what's right, what's wrong, how you need to go. And you know what? Those people are really good for you. When the world is treating you mean, they will wrap you in their arms and tell you how much they love you and how much Jesus loves you. So find yourself looking and being a part of good, wholesome relationships. In her book, Becoming, First Lady Michelle Obama said, and there's grace in being willing to know and to hear others. That's powerful. There's grace in being willing to know and to hear others. She also talked about the power of using your voice. Your voice matters. Sometimes people want to hear you. You know, you pray for me, and that's real good. But sometimes people want to hear what you have to say. William Penn said, I expect to pass this way but once. Therefore, if there be any kindness I can show, any good thing I can do for another human being, let me do it now. For I shall not pass this way but once. And this is what I say, y'all. Use me, Lord, to do a work for you. Anoint my life. Fill me through and through. For your service, Lord, I have a job to do. You can use me, Lord, to glorify you. And I say that often. I say it from heart, from memory. I want to be used by God. I sing this song sometimes. I say, I'm going to tell my singing friends who do the challenges. You know, they get on Facebook. They don't ever give me a challenge to sing my song. But my song, and I'm not going to sing it, friends. Don't get scared, my friends out there. But I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to be His example. I want to walk in the beauty of life. Just let me be a follower of Christ. Then it says, what do I have to do? What do I have to say? How do I have to walk each and every day? No matter what it takes, I want to be a follower of Christ. When we get that attitude, we realize the great minds discuss ideas. Average minds talk about events. Small minds talk about people. May those words of my mouth, these words of my mouth, and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. God hears. Do our words. God hears our words. We want to be doers of our words because we want to glorify God. God bless you today. I hope you got something out of this. Look at your relationships and see what you can do to add value to your relationships, simply to glorify God and to make this world a better place through unity. I love you. I thank you, God, so much for this opportunity. And I thank those of you who are listening. God bless you.
God knew us a long time ago. He loved us enough to allow us to be born. He loved us enough to allow Jesus to come Jesus loved us enough to die for us. It would be a disservice to Jesus not to love ourselves after all he went through for me and you. God elevated us by loving us. Jesus elevated us by